anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Three time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast a police officer, the Avon Somerset Police Department in jolly old England. Now, in 2019, this officer, he was actually named Officer of the Year. But more recently, he was a spokesman for the police department regarding the challenges that he and other officers are facing after recent budget cuts. Anyway, the reason we're toasting him is because this police officer's name is Officer Rob Banks.
Rob Banks.
That is
Banks.
The man's name. It is Officer Rob Banks, Officer of the Year in 2019. You cannot beat that. That's like if you're a veterinarian. What's your name? Ray Bees. And I mean, just like, come on, man.
Rob Banks.
Rob Banks.
I think you picked the wrong profession.
I think it's perfect. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy.
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola.
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
That's Stephen Thrill Hill. Could you please turn everyone out? Profile This is played.
Oh, I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth.
Earth, 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 Earth.
And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Justin. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
All right, Justin, you understand how this here game is played.
Sure do, Thrill.
Fantastic. You have your choice of one of three stories. Today, we offer you the wonderful world of drugs. We have interior decorating, where you guess the foreign object that ended up on the inside of someone. And finally, animalize this, where you guess the animal responsible for causing the problem.
Ted, what do you want to do?
Bob for apples.
Hit me?
You do hit me? Well, that wasn't one of the categories, Sid.
It wasn't.
We got drugs, we got interior decorating, and animalize this.
Drugs.
Drugs. All right, here's your story. We're going to Indiana, where a man carjacked a woman and then ran her over with her own SUV twice before crashing and breaking the leg of a second woman and another vehicle. Well, they got arrested, told police he was high on two drugs and did not remember the events of that night. Now, that's a lot to unpack, but one Chance Tressler, he faces charges of robbery, battery, auto theft, and leaving the scene of an accident. The incident left the woman he ran over with swelling, bruises, and bleeding. But the carjacking started after a woman left her GMC Acadia unlocked outside of a gas station. The suspect left a stolen Chrysler 200 idling at the gas station lot and then got into the Acadia and started driving away. The victim held on to the handle of the driver's side door, but she was run over when he put the car in reverse and drove forward and over her again before finally driving away. Now, at one point, he ran a red light, in which he was then hit by an oncoming car. A crash that sent the other driver to the hospital with a broken leg. Now, police eventually tracked down the owner of the Chrysler that the suspect last left at the gas station. And the owner told police, quote, he had a pretty good idea who stole it, saying it was a man named Chance who worked for him and stayed at his house overnight. Police did find Tressler the following day, and he told cops, hey, man, I was high on two different drugs, and I had stopped taking my medication for schizophrenia. He also told investigators that he borrowed a car from his boss and got lost. Says he pulled into the gas station for directions and a drink because he had cotton mouth before driving off in another vehicle. And he said he thought he hit the curb pulling out of the lot. And did remember getting T-boned later. Anyway, he stated that he then left in a panic, sat down somewhere, and woke up in a bean field. Now, he admitted that he ran from the accident because he knew he was going to be in some trouble. And he was not wrong. All that said, he's being held on $50,000 bond. So the question is, what drug was he on in addition to meth? Because he was on two different drugs. Meth was one of them. Was he also on cocaine, Xanax, crack, or heroin? Coke, Xannies, crack, or heroin? What was the other drug he was on in addition to meth?
Don't know why, but I'm leaning Xanax, but what do you guys think?
I mean, well, I feel like heroin and meth kind of go together. And Xanax makes sense, but he couldn't get his regular prescriptions, and that's an excuse that he was on these two drugs, right?
Yeah, that's what he's selling the cop, too.
I'm going to go, Justin, I'm going to go heroin. I think he did basically a speedball.
Yeah, I'm with Miles. I'm going heroin.
You guys have done more drugs than me, so let's go heroin.
All right, heroin, roll in.
Clean sweep.
Say it like that, dude.
All right, he's on meth. What else was he on? Cocaine, Xanax, crack, or heroin? We'll find out next.
That was a tease.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Category drugs on profile list. We got an Indiana man who carjacked a woman's car. He ended up running over her twice as she tried to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Then I guess he hit another woman while driving away. Then ended up in a bean field. Don't ask me. He was high on two different drugs. One of them was meth. So in addition to meth, what was this guy on? Cocaine, Xanax, crack, or heroin?
And Justin, that is the question that we posed to you. You were in agreement with Ethan Smith. You were in agreement with Miles Montgomery. Heroin for the clean sweep.
No.
It was not heroin. Justin, in the future, listen to your gut. It was, in fact, Xanax.
Oh,
Xanax.
No kidding.
Huh. It was Xanax, yep.
Okay.
Xanzies.
Interesting way to get there. Now, for all TV news all the time, it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Your choices today, Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers, The Jimmys,
Fallon and Kimmel,
Tomlinson,
Taylor,
Ted Smith.
Is it Ted or is it late night?
That's right there. The title. These guys have teams and talented writers helping come up with their monologues each and every night. It is up to you to determine, is this an actual late night joke and from whom, or could it be a V. Ted Smith original?
The World Series matchup has been set, and the first game is on Friday night, and it's between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees. Or some are calling it Hollywood versus Broadway.
I think it's Myers.
Fallon?
Smith!
Damn it!
Let's go! I don't know.
Well done, Ted.
I thought I gave it away earlier when I said jazz hands. Lost Cherry. Tom Ford's new $250 perfume is being compared to embalming fluid because it contains benzaldehyde. I spelt it out phonetically and still screwed it up. The same chemical used during the embalming process and used in foods to create a taste like almond or cherry. Yummy. I'm sure I'll incorporate this into my new cookbook. Does this taste like Nana's funeral?
Colbert.
Yeah, Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, it's Colbert.
Lost Cherry, Tom Ford's new $255 perfume, is being compared to embalming fluid because it contains benzaldehyde, the same chemical used during the embalming process and which, incidentally, is also used in food to create an almond or a cherry taste. Yummers. I'll be sure to incorporate that into my new cookbook. Does this taste like Nana's funeral?
Get some good food at funerals.
You do.
Peloton is teaming up with Costco to sell their bike as a new way to reach new customers. Costco has food, furniture, and exercise bikes. They're pretty much a USA Today away from being a Marriott.
Come on. Fallon.
Fallon.
Which one?
Peloton, Costco.
Peloton is partnering with Costco to sell their bike as they look to reach new customers.
Ooh.
Costco's got food, furniture, and exercise bikes. I mean, they're pretty much a USA Today away from being a Marriott.
Coca-Cola has issued a recall for more than 13,000 cases of Minute Maid lemonade because they are mislabeled. Specifically, contains lemons.
Myers.
Yeah,
Coca-Cola has issued a recall for 13,000 cases of Minute Maid lemonade because they're mislabeled. Specifically, contains lemons.
In his new memoir, Al Pacino says he will be forever haunted by a childhood injury to his penis, while the rest of us will be forever haunted by that headline.
Fallon?
Colbert.
In his new memoir, Al Pacino says he'll forever be haunted by a childhood injury to his penis, while the rest of us will be forever haunted by that headline.
Hoo-ah! Ma! I haunt my penis!
Did you hear what his deal was on that?
I mean, I don't know. He's got like five kids. He just had one.
Well,
I
think he works fine. So basically, yeah. He was 9 years old, mm-hmm. and he fell, and somehow a cord or something kind of just went straight up to Jimmy. So I think it either cut him or something like that. The problem is, at the time, his grandmother was also living with him.
Grandmother, mother, and aunt.
So when it came time to inspect the damage, they're tugging at this thing. One's got one hand on him, the berries, the other. So he's got three women in his life who he knows intimately, basically pulling his stuff apart to find out, right. The damage that's been done.
He accidentally fell on it.
Well, yeah. Whatever. Like
he was walking on top of like a tight rope walk, as he says. Right. Walking on like the edge of a fence, slipped. Kids are prone to do. But now,
but he's injured.
Mom, grandma, and your aunt are all like, "Oh, poor Al!
Pull down your pants. We got to check out your penis to make sure it's not lacerated or whatever the deal is."
Mm-hmm.
All right, John Stamos. We all know him, correct?
Correct.
Yes. What's he most famous? What do you know him for?
Being John Stamos, but also Full House.
Okay, I would say for being attractive.
Mm. Yeah.
Being John Stamos.
well, he said he was a nerdy kid in junior high and high school. Hobbies that were, he says, not chick magnet type things, like magic, puppets, and marching band. All right, that's fair. But he said his graduation approach, he starts getting, he starts kind of growing into his body, becoming John Stamos, good-looking. He finds out that the hottest girl in school is into him. He starts blabbing to people at a party, gets back to this girl's boyfriend, who punched him, gave him a black eye. He says from that moment on, he was determined to be a star. To this day, each milestone of my career, I remember thinking, I'm going to show him. I'm going to get on TV, and I'm going to have bodyguards. I'll be playing with the Beach Boys. I'm going to get invited. I'm going to invite him to a concert. In the middle of my drum solo, I'm going to say, "Go get them, boys." And they would beat him up. And I would drive off into a limo and wave at him, and that would be it. He even wanted to dedicate his recent memoir to the guy, but the publishers wouldn't let it. He said he was going to call him Small Wiener or something because I can't remember his name.
But move on, man.
I've been punched many times in the face, and I just don't hold that much.
I mean, look, everybody, it's easy for athletes. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. I get it. He thinks he uses this as motivation and everything. Sure. But I'm with you. Even for me, that seems a little crazy to be I'm going to name the memoir Mike Hawk because Mike Hawk punched me in high school.
I'm still thinking about this.
Right.
So it obviously affected him.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
I think we can agree.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I don't know. You could still think about stuff from the past, but I wouldn't.
It doesn't really dictate what I choose to do. When it's that far back. John Stamos' age, that should not be your motivation.
As Frozen would say, just let it go.
And at this point, dude, you can bet any woman you want. I'd be
I think that guy knows.
Or he's like, "What? I don't know you're that mad."
Yeah. I mean, also, that guy, maybe he doesn't even know who John Stamos is.
He might be like, "Wait, that's the guy I punched?"
Yeah.
Or he's just been, at the local bar held up by the jukebox and the pool table. I can think of a bar right now where that guy would be sitting.
Yep.
All right, everybody knows, if you listen to The Men's Room, what type of movie do all four of us agree on that we love? The answer is romantic comedies. Thank you, Throw.
All the time. The time.
Again, I generally watch them on airplanes. I've really cut down on my rom-com viewing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just honestly, just because it's not as big of an option.
All right.
Yeah.
My son's getting into the rom-com thing.
Is he?
Yeah, and I'm just like, whatever, man. I think he likes ass is basically what I'm getting out of this. You know what I mean? How do I score a woman?
What's he watching?
Brother, I couldn't tell you. Because when he's watching, I don't sit in my wife will watch those movies with him. And they have a couple of TV shows with all the streaming services. I don't know what half of them are about. But he'll tell me, whatever the name is, he knows I'm not going to sit down and watch it. But that's his time. I'm like, hey, enjoy, man.
Yeah.
Like what you like.
Yeah, also, he's getting to the age where he's just going to naturally watch more rom-coms.
Sure.
Because chicks like to watch rom-coms.
Yeah, it goes
a long
way.
I would say I watched a lot of rom-coms until I was probably about like 25,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you kind of, I don't know. Like, it was just like, all right, I'm not trying to be nice to...
But I like it, man. Like, he likes rom-coms. He likes Deadpool. I go, we can work with this. It's all good.
Yeah. So these are saying the 10 worst rom-coms ever. In case you're wondering, I'll just cut to the chase on this one. Number one is Geely.
Oh, Ben Affleck.
Oh, God, Ben Affleck, Jennifer Lopez. Yeah.
I don't normally just straight up quit movies. That was when I straight up quit.
I never even started to watch it. Got panned. And I had no interest in seeing it in the first place, to be fair.
It got panned so bad.
But you're telling me you gave it a shot.
So bad, dude.
What is it about?
Ben Affleck, I believe, is some sort of a bodyguard for Jennifer Lopez.
All right.
And there's some sexual tension between the two.
Sure.
That she is not reciprocating, or that he's like a bad boy or something like that keeps pining after her, but she's not giving him anything. And the dialogue is awful. The storyline is awful. The chemistry between the two, despite the fact that they were married twice.
Well, we saw that worked out in real life.
Awful. Like, it's
to me, if I remember correctly, that was they're together. They're two of the more famous stars on the planet. Let's put them in a movie quickly.
That was the sentence I got.
And it was trash.
Number 10 on the list, though, was Aloha.
Aloha.
2015. I mean, it seems like it shouldn't miss, right? You have all the main characters for a rom-com. Emma Stone.
All right.
Bradley Cooper. Rachel McAdams. John Krasinski. Bill Murray.
I vaguely remember this one being talked about.
Yeah. Still sucked.
No kidding. Damn.
Worst rom-coms ever? I didn't know it was supposed to be funny at all, but they say 50 Shades of Grey.
Was that supposed to be a comedy?
I know people love the book.
I didn't think that was supposed to be a rom-com.
No, that was
I thought
a
that was about BDSM.
Yeah, sex. BDSM. I mean, it's only interesting.
I never saw it. Is that what it really is? Isn't it? Time, people love, and grey?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. That's all the different shades.
I see.
All right. Let's go to 2012. This movie, just simply called LOL.
Yeah, I'm already out.
Yeah.
Again, it's got Miley Cyrus in it.
And I'm out even further.
Demi Moore, Miley Cyrus, great talent, very attractive woman. I don't know that I need to see her in movies.
No. 2012, she was still a kid, though, wasn't she?
Yeah, 12 years younger than she is now.
Was that when she was really breaking out? Was that when she had her, you know...
Jesus, I don't know. I'm talking about her now.
That's fair call. Fair call. My bad.
God damn it, Mike.
I'm getting too deep with this, Ted. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, Jesus, man.
Don't mean to anger you, Ted.
Number 7 of the worst rom-coms ever, Accidental Love in 2014.
Accidental Love.
Missed that one, too.
Nope, same.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Up so far, I'm perfect on this one.
If Mike and I haven't seen
it. I missed all the bad movies.
Then I'm willing to bet nobody in here has seen it. Let's see. Who was in that one? Accidental Love. All right. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal. Seemed like it should have been a hit. Jessica Biel. Mr. Wrong from 1996.
I remember the name, but I couldn't tell you who's in it.
That was Ellen DeGeneres. It had...
That's sexy.
Who else was it? Ellen DeGeneres, Joan Cusack, Bill Pullman.
Still not sexy.
Yeah, a lonely single woman finds the seemingly perfect man to date, but soon regrets it when his deranged, possessive other personality emerges, and she cannot convince anyone else of his Jekyll and Hyde true nature.
Okay.
Swept Away, 2002. Madonna was in it.
Oh, boy. That tells you all you need
to know. That's already going to be a bad movie.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, here's the deal, too. They will always put super popular pop stars in a romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it doesn't always work.
No, it
doesn't. Madonna doesn't have a great film history, either.
No.
Not really.
I think she got credit for being, what's it?
Desperately Seeking Susan.
That was a terrible
movie. Remember, she played the woman leader, Evita?
In Argentina. Well, I know what you're I think it was just named after the woman. Right?
What, wasn't it Evita?
Was it Evita? I might have just got that right. 2005, In the Mix.
Never heard of that one.
I'm with you. That one does not ring a bell.
That's Usher did that one.
Oh,
that makes more sense. Number 3 on the worst rom-coms, The Hottie and the Naughty.
Oh, my God. What?
Just the alliteration on that one is just crazy.
I mean, it's got Paris Hilton.
Oh, Jesus. So, say no more.
All right.
Yeah. Number 2 on the list. We said number 1 was Geely. What is, when I say rom-coms, what's another one Think pop stars, universally panned.
Justin DeKelly from Justin DeKelly or something like that?
From Justin DeKelly. They put it out pretty quickly. That was the first season of American Idol, right? I can't remember. Who won?
She won.
Justin came in second. They went on tour. I served her meatballs. And then that movie came out about 6 months later.
Yeah, I heard.
Did you watch it based on the fact that you served her meatballs?
Never seen it, Miles.
Okay.
As I was saying earlier, there is sports. By the way, shout out to ESPN. I did watch a little bit last night after we taped a brand new episode of the podcast.
Out now?
I believe it is out now. What was it? Like the Goal Zone or Frozen something? Basically, they have a few of these every year they're going to do where they just had dudes at a desk. And they had every team in the NHL played yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And they just kind of went around. Yeah. So, like, I'm not the biggest hockey guy, but it was kind of cool. It's like, ooh, we got a shootout going on this game.
Right, they take it to the
NHL. Sounds like Red Zone.
Yeah, basically.
It is. If you're
it's too hard to predict
college football sicko like me, you got Liberty and Kennesaw State and Middle Tennessee and Jacksonville State tonight. Check your local listings. I don't know where you're going to find that one. And if you're if you are a Yankees fan, I wouldn't recommend this, but pretty good story. The comeback, 2004, Boston Red Sox on Netflix. People forget because they kept winning, but that was such a huge deal.
It was monsters.
Right, they're down 3-0 to the Yankees. Come back, take it to a Game 7, and it was a fun story.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's Mike Hawk.
All right, our top story. Who's ready for Chilean sea bass snacks?
Everybody.
Yeah. Pepperidge Farms, the company known for tasty crackers, desserts and puff pastries, delicious Milano cookies, and of course, the snack that smiles back, has decided to temporarily take the latter in a different direction. Goldfish has long been a staple in lunchboxes all across this great nation, but they want to reinforce that those tasty sea creatures are not just for kids. No, no! Also for the kids at heart as well. Believing that a more sophisticated name might help jumpstart a wave of interest in the older crowd, they're now changing the name of Goldfish to Chilean Sea Bass. Now, before anyone goes on strike about this, the new name won't be printed on any products sold in stores, only online, and it'll only be for about a week.
Do they really think it's going to jumpstart adults? Look, this is how I rediscovered Goldfish. Have kids.
Yeah. See, and I've always liked Goldfish. I have not gone away from my love of Goldfish.
Do you buy them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I will.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, that's it. Like, look, I have kids, so I buy them, and they're fine. They eat 95%. I'll have the occasional handful, but I'm not going to eat them just because you call it Chilean sea bass.
Now, I will say part of that was fueled by the fact that it was one of the snacks that was available to my wife after she came out of surgery.
Okay.
And she was down on those, and so I just got a whole butt ton of them, and so that when she lost her taste for them, I got to eat all of them.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, obviously people with kids are going to eat more Goldfish.
And sure.
But I kind of honestly thought they appealed to adults when they started making, like, extra cheddar.
Yeah.
Parmesan
flavor. Old Bay.
My kids don't get excited about Parmesan. Never mind Parmesan, but putting that as a flavor doesn't excite them. Right. I, like you said, that as an adult, I'm much more interested than they are. You know what it's called? Chilean sea bass.
I liked the Parmesan ones when I was a kid.
Did you?
Yeah.
I mean, could be. I'm just saying, I know what I've bought on my own. And it's like, you know, like, oh, man, extra cheddar blast. Okay. Ooh.
You tell me it's been blasted with cheddar.
And Miles is right. Those Old Bay ones, they're lie.
Great.
They were fantastic.
Mm-hmm. They are super good. They go quick.
Yes,
they got a Frank's Red Hot.
I want to.
Yes, they do.
You know, very good. You know, I'm looking for the transformation flavor-wise.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got all these different flavors now. Microwave popcorn. I want to get, like, Old Bay microwave popcorn, like if you could do a caramel popcorn,
Mexican seasoned
popcorn.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You know, whatever, cheddar cheese. I'm sure they have a couple of them.
Sure.
But to really expand, you know, maybe sriracha flavored, whatever the deal is.
Let's talk to Cobb.
Man, I'm racking my brain. You should just go to a QFC or Safeway and look in those aisles. I don't know that they have Old Bay.
Okay.
They, you know, because they have Flavor Blast. I think they have cheddar. I think you can make kettle corn in your microwave.
I think you can.
Yeah. Flavor Blast just kind of, we're not really telling you what flavor it is.
Right.
But it's been blasted.
We just put Johnny's on it.
Right.
I mean, to me, when you say, when you're like a goldfish and you say Flavor Blast it, it's like, do you ever think of regular ones too mundane? We blast the crap out of this.
Okay, yeah, look. All right, Jolly Time's got the big cheese. So they put cheese in their popcorn.
All right.
Act Two's got hot and spicy.
Oh, so no.
There are a couple of brands out there that do some craziness.
Sometimes hobbies pay off in other news. One such story takes us to England. While scouring a farmer's field with metal detectors, a group of seven were stunned to find a treasure trove. They dug down to find the cash that had been laying in the ground for over 1,000 years, consisting of 2,500 silver coins.
Damn.
They quickly got in touch with the local museum and got the value of the coins, the British equivalent of $5.6 million.
Nice.
They're now bound for the museum where they'll help tell the story of the Norman conquest of England.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, tell the story if you want. Give me some money.
Right. Can you put my name at the bottom of it?
I want my money.
Found by... horrific story out of Canada. I don't know if you guys saw this one, but it's awful. Officials were called to a local Walmart branch on reports of a dead body inside. Not many details were released as the investigation is ongoing, but an employee of the branch was found dead in the building inside the walk-in oven of the bakery department.
I have many questions about a walk-in oven.
Yeah.
How does that work? You just have trays in there and you turn it on for 15 minutes and then you do a whole rack of one thing?
All the years I cooked, I never had a walk-in oven. Yeah. So I'm sorry. And granted, they're doing like industrial scale stuff.
Sure.
I mean, like if you're going to bake, say, 20 cakes at one time, and you set it on 325 or whatever. That makes sense. But to walk in an oven and pull them out, like, what's cooling period?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
You can't take the other stuff out that needed to go out 10
minutes. And is that thing locked shut? Like, were they in there cleaning it and something got knocked off?
I don't believe that the oven was on. So that's the thing. I think she might have had a medical emergency.
Gotcha.
Or something happened.
God, I hope so.
Something. I don't think she turned the damn thing on and went in there and...
Right.
Got locked in.
I don't know if I can imagine a much worse way. That's horrific. The branch is to remain closed until further notice, and the employees of the branch are being offered mental counseling courtesy of the company.
I bet they are.
Absolutely, man.
I mean, I'm Googling it. I'm looking at it. It basically looks like a walk-in freezer. Same kind of idea. So I guess you would just walk in a rack and then take out a rack.
You know, bacon breads and baguettes and bagels and whatever it is that they're making in there. But just in case those stories left a bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
And this news comes to us thanks to researchers at Cornell who found that our vegetable friends are doing a lot more than we thought that they were. Researchers with the university, along with help from Oak Ridge National Laboratory, took a different approach when it came to calculating how much carbon was being processed through the Earth's vegetation. Developments in technology helped give them a more accurate measurement of this number, and it turned out that plants from around the world are actually processing carbon 31% more than earlier models have calculated.
Good.
Or 37 billion metric tons of carbon more than we thought they were. This development will help researchers get a better understanding of the ecosystem and help better predict future changes in the climate, is what they're saying.
All right, good.
All right, Jay.
Yeah, it's a positive story. I like that, man. Men's room sports. With the trade deadline looming ever closer in the NFL, the Seahawks have reached an agreement with the Tennessee Titans, bringing linebacker Ernest Jones IV to Seattle in an exchange for linebacker Jerome Baker, as well as a fourth-round pick. We've also claimed linebacker Josh Ross off of waivers out of Baltimore. Enjoy that one. After a hard-fought battle at home, the Seattle Kraken were not able to take down the Colorado Avalanche as they lost that game 3-2 last night. They've got the night off before Winnipeg comes to town for some action tomorrow night here at home. As for tonight, you've got some college football on CBS Sports and ESPN2, NBA basketball on ESPN, and some hockey on TNT and on True TV. As far as your weather, the clouds are moving back in tonight to make for an overcast and slightly windy night. That'll open things up for tomorrow, where we can expect cloudy skies early and then partly cloudier in the afternoon with a high of about 56. That is it for headlines. With that, Mike Hawk is out.
We'll see you next time for the return of Big Dummy. The head chef is back with Ted's Meat and Potatoes. The lovely Jolene is up next.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
This room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.